Galatians chapter 2, but we're going to pick this up at verse 15. And I would encourage you, when you get home, to read the beginning part of Galatians chapter 2, because it follows on from what Beryl was reading to us last week. And it also explains a little bit more about Paul and his relationship with Peter, and how it was that Paul was saying to Peter that actually Peter was leading the people astray by his attitude. Because what had happened was that Peter, in the church at Jerusalem, which was predominantly Jewish at that time, Christian, they'd said that it was all right for the Gentile church, the non-Jewish people, to stay with their own customs, and they didn't have to follow the Jewish customs. But then other people came from the church and they started saying, well, actually, no, you should stick to the Jewish. You need to keep that culture, is what they were saying. You need to remind yourselves of where you've come from. And so Peter began to separate himself from the Gentiles and only to keep with the Jewish people, and went back into the Jewish way of doing things. And so Paul came and told him that this was wrong. And we pick it up then where it says, Paul is talking here. We Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over non-Jewish sinners. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? We tried it, and we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believed in Jesus as the Messiah, so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. Have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me, who go through Christ in order to get things right with God, aren't perfectly virtuous, Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin? The accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn that I tore down. I would be acting as a charlatan. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You've probably all been wondering what's going on underneath here. And so, would anybody like to guess what there is in here? Oh, you're not supposed to get here that quick. Well done. Would anybody like to come and have a feel? But as seen as how you've guessed what it is, we don't really need to do that. What makes you think it's a jug? The shape. Well done, Julie. You've got very good eyes there. I was trying to... Obviously not very good. Yes, it's a jug. Well done. Now then, what's the purpose of a jug? Purpose of a jug is... It's not difficult. Oh, yeah. To hold water and to... Because this is... To pour it out, that's right. Can this jug pour anything out at the moment? No. If I decorated it... Would that make it better? Where have they gone? Oh, they're not there anyway. Oh, here they are. If I decorated, would that make it better? No, put some pretty flowers on it. Make it look nice, do you think? Would that help it? No. What needs to be done to it so that it can fulfil the purpose for which it was made? It needs to be filled. That's right. So if we fill it like that, and what is inside it can be seen, and then it can fulfil the purpose for which it was made. Does anybody else want a drink? No? Philip, always ready for a drink. It needs to be filled in order that it can fulfil its own purpose of why it was made. Peter and the others that were with him that had fallen into this trap, and so strong was the pressure on them that even Barnabas had followed the same way. They were relying again on outward actions and appearances, and circumcision was one of the big issues of it. But it was all down to this question of identity, you see. This is why they were saying, they'd been saying to them, you need to keep your cultural difference, you need to show that you're separate, that you're different. And it's easy within the church as well to get into this way of thinking that we need to do things to show that we are different. We need to be doing something so that people know that we're different. And actually, what God is saying to us is, I want to live in you and I will make you different. And then what you do will be different. But as Mary mentioned in her prayer earlier, we're all individual. Each one of us is unique. God has given us different gifts and abilities. He's made us different. We have different personalities. We cannot say to one another, you must do this in order that you will then belong. But rather, what we're saying is that together we open ourselves up and allow God's Spirit to be within us, to transform us and to change us and to make us into the people that He wants us to be. There is this need for integrity within Christians. When you wrote on the piece of paper that you had about how people saw you, I wonder whether everybody sees you like that all the time. How you are on a Sunday as we gather together in worship, all very calm and placid and friendly and hi, how are you? And is that how you are when you're at home? Is that how you are when you're at work? Is that how you are when you're with your friends? Is that how you are when you're stressed up in the middle of town and everybody's coming at you and you don't know where you are? You see, what God is wanting is a people of integrity. A people who are the same wherever they are, that allow His Spirit to be at work in them, so that whether they're in an extremely frustrating situation or whether they're sat on a beach relaxing, His Spirit can flow through them. He doesn't want us to be a set of people that go off and have smarmy conversations with one set of people because that's the sort of thing that they talk about and we want to fit in with them. And then to have a different kind of conversation with another group of people who might be talking about spiritual things. And Because that's not being a person of integrity. So God wants us to be a people of integrity so that wherever we are, we reflect the personality of Christ. And this is what Paul was talking about here, that it's not by what we do, but it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done that we're saved. If they were going back into doing the rules and you've got to be circumcised and you've got to do this and you've got to do that, got to go to the synagogue, you've got to do whatever, if they were trusting in that for their righteousness, then effectively what they were saying was that, well, there's no point in Christ coming and dying because they could do it by obeying the law. But as we know, and as Paul knew himself, he was the best at keeping the law, but it didn't make him right. God's righteousness comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot come any other way. And what Paul was saying was that his deliverance had come not by Moses and the law, but it came by Christ and faith in what Christ had done. If you think right back into the book of Genesis and Abraham, it was credited to him as righteousness, his faith in being obedient to the call of God. It's that faith in God, that faith and trust in the redeeming work of Christ on the cross at Calvary by which we are saved. It might have been that that verse that I read there sort of struck a chord in your mind and you thought, oh, I think I've heard that somewhere before. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It might be that you thought, oh, I think I've heard that before. In our communion service, when we take the bread and the wine, we say these words: let us eat this bread in remembrance that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the life we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Every time we take communion, every time we eat the bread, we are remembering that Christ died for us. And the life that we now live is not our life, but by faith, it's the life of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. We take communion, we take it reverently, we take it meaningfully, we take it once a month. What about the rest of the time? Do we remember that the life that we now live is not our own, but that which has been given through Christ and what he did for us on the cross at Calvary? Do we truly live honouring Christ? Or do we say that it was pointless what he did? Do we try and do things ourselves in our own way? Do we try and make things right? Please God, you know, attend every meeting that there possibly is. Say our prayers, make sure that we do the right things. All trying to please God, to get him to love us. When actually God loves us. God loves us before ever we loved him. We love Christ because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. We think that we've made a decision for Christ. The truth is that God has already called us and his hand is on us. And he wants to make a difference in our lives. You wrote round the edge of this circle how people see you. And as I say, maybe you are like that all the time. Or maybe you're just like that at certain times with certain people. And then we put this cross in the middle. And really, this is a picture of our bodies, if you like, and what is on the outside, what people see on the outside. Not just, but perhaps the things that we do as well, how the people see us through our actions. Then on this bit here, we're thinking about these, how we want Christ to be at work in our lives, the Christ-like activities that we want in our lives. What kind of things did you put in there? Because those things are the things that people should be seeing in our lives as we grow and develop as Christians by the work of His Spirit in us. So here we've got self-control, patience, love, those kind of works of Christ in our lives that we want to show and to demonstrate. And how do we do that? We can't do it ourselves, because it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But if you drew a small circle in the centre of there, right in the core of your being, I wonder what you would write in there as to who you are. What would be your answer to that, of who you are? Yes, this is what people see on the outside, a nice, friendly person, a smile for everyone, helpful, caring, loving, maybe other things that you've written on there. This is what you would like Christ to do in your life. This is how you would like to be. But that core, what's that really like? How many people really see that bit? God sees it. And that bit is the bit that God wants to change and to renew. He's able to do it. He's able to transform. He's able, as he did with Paul on the road to Damascus, totally and completely turn him round and upside down. But it's not something that we can do in our own strength. There's something on YouTube at the moment. There's a time-lapse video. I think it's been come up because it's Father's Day. But it's a six-minute video. It's a time-lapse video of 21 years of this man's son's life. And every day, well, practically every day, he's taken a picture of his son for those 21 years. And he's put it all together into this six-minute video. There was a time when their camera was stolen, so that he lost a month's photos then, and a couple of other things, but he never went back on it. If he'd forgotten, you know, and he remembered at 12:05, he didn't take it. He kept the honesty. And he said it was something that he think he decided to do in the pub one night. But then he thought he might do it for 1 or 2 years, but then it became a project that he wanted to do. But then it became important to him because the love and the bonding that there was there between father and son and was being shown in this video. The love of the father was evident in the kind of photographs that he'd taken, the times that were special and holiday events and things like that. How much more evident is God's love for us? And what is the evidence of our love for Christ? Each week on the notice sheet, the Bible readings for the coming Sunday are given. Those of you that read the ones for this week will have noticed it's in Luke's Gospel, and it's where the woman comes and anoints Jesus' feet with oil. There he is in the home of Simon, and Simon hasn't even bothered to offer him his feet to be washed with water. You know, he was too made up that Jesus was coming to his house. And then this woman came in, the lowest of the low, and Simon was looking at her and thinking, well, who does she think she is? You know, coming to my house. And this woman comes in and she pours this perfume over Jesus' feet, rubs it with her hair, washes him with her tears. The love that just pours from this woman to him, and Jesus accepts her. And this is the whole point of what Paul is trying to say, in that everyone is to be accepted and loved as Jesus loves everyone. That isn't to say that our actions, it doesn't matter what we do. There is a consequence to our actions if we're disobedient to God. But the basic line is that God loves us and cares for us, and he wants us to love and care for him. And in the same way, he wants us to love and care for others too. We're saved by faith, not by works. His Spirit in us enables us to fulfill that for which we were created. And we were created to worship God. So many times we think that we were created to do things, to be somebody. It's part of our life and part of the way that we are. And we do need to work to earn money to live. But that kind of gets carried over into our church life, and we need to be doing something. Somebody starts attending church for so many months and then it's, what would you like to do in church? And we do that not because we don't care about them, but because we want to make them feel welcome so that they feel part of it. I wonder, instead of saying that, I wonder if we said to them, as we do through this time tomorrow, how can we pray for you in what you are doing already? Would that change how we feel about ourselves and how we see God in our lives? Instead of thinking, I should be at the prayer meeting and I should be doing this and I should be doing that. Don't get me wrong. Prayer is important. Bible study is important. It's good to do these things. It's good to get to know God more through his word. But we don't do those in order to earn God's favour. We do those because his love is such within us that we want to be with God's people. We want to share in fellowship. We want to be together. For our life to be consistent, we need the life of Christ within us, to be dead to self and alive in Christ, so that it's no longer me who lives. This is what Paul was meaning when he said he identified himself completely with Christ. What he was meaning was he was dead to himself. All of that had gone. We talk about, don't we, self on the cross, Christ on the throne. We talk about taking up our cross daily. When we go through the waters of baptism, we talk of dying to self and rising in new life. It's that which enables us to be people of integrity. You know, we should be known as people of integrity. We shouldn't be having people saying, look at them, they go off down to church every Sunday and look what they do during the week. That should not be for a Christian. We are to be a people of integrity. We used to sing a song a long time ago, Jesus, take me as I am, I can come no other way. And then it goes on to say, life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. No matter how old or how young we may be, if we have confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour, then there should be evidence of that in our life. And if there isn't, and we need to be asking questions. We should be looking and encouraging for that fruit in one another's lives. That's what it means about building one another up in the faith. It doesn't mean saying, hey, you know, you've not read your Bible this week. It means coming alongside somebody and saying, hey, you know, perhaps we could meet up for coffee and have a look at the scripture that we read together on Sunday or something like that. Building one another up in the faith, encouraging one another. This is what it's all about. Because it's the evidence of Christ in our lives that identifies us as Christians. It's not church attendance, it's not membership, but it's the evidence of Christ in our lives. It's only when we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. This is how much God loves us, that he gave his Son to die. That while we were yet sinners, we could know his redeeming love. See, we don't have to be good before God loves us. He loves us as we are. He wants us to change. He's made us for a purpose. He wants us to change, but he wants to change us from within. He doesn't want us putting this mask on the outside. But that core centre in here that he wants to radiate through the whole of our life so that what is in there is seen out here by his work of grace. It's God's grace in our lives that has brought us to this point where we are in our faith journey. We have so much to give thanks to God for. So much that he's done in our lives. So much that he's enabled us to do. So much that he's gifted us with. So much that he wants to be there in our lives for. And often we just ignore him and go our own way. But he calls us back to himself. He calls us to love him, to worship him, and to allow him to work in our lives. This is what Paul was speaking to the church in Galatia about. Amen. Let's pray.